hearing work session in the House Bill 3502A, and LFO will kindly lead us through it. Susie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson. House Bill 3502B.
Oops.
Sorry about that. Abolishes the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center, the Oregon State Fair Commission, and the position of Director of the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center. Transfers all the duties, functions, powers, and properties to the State Parks and Recreation Department. Continuously appropriates monies from the Oregon State Fair accounts to the State Parks and Recreation Department. Provides an operative date of these provisions of January 1, 2006. Requires the State Parks and Recreation Director to appoint a state advisory committee consisting of 7 members, a resident from each congressional district, and 2 persons to represent county fair interests. Removes references to race meets conducted at the state fairgrounds and declares an emergency and takes effect on passage. The bill we added a fiscal impact to allow some additional resource to the Parks and Recreation Department for transition assistance, and so we've added a position, a limited duration position, for 9 months. And basically, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Susie. Does anyone wish to testify on this bill? Please come forward and identify yourself.
People just love this bill.
I know. This is a popular bill, isn't it?
Yeah. Ms. Frankel, League of Women Voters, and we are opposed the bill for a number of reasons. And I must admit, we were a little bit late coming to this. Yesterday I drove out and looked around the fairgrounds. And I must admit, it's one heck of a lot of concrete and asphalt. Not to mention some pretty derelict buildings. And I understand need for money, but as Susan Morgan put it on the House floor, she suggested this could be an urban park. Well, it's going to be a big stretch. There happens to be about a quarter of an acre of land in the area that is an oak grove, which is kept screened off and opened up for picnicking during the fair. There is the amphitheater, which is receiving very little use, largely because the purpose of the amphitheater, no longer are people willing to come for the big rock concerts and so on. I mean, I can see why the fair is not getting the revenue to keep it open. But my big concern is that using Measure 66 funds, they're only good to 2014, unless somebody does something pretty dramatic about it. I don't consider that an enormously stable funding. I secondly think that the voters who voted for Measure 66, and mind you, I know all about 1037 and everybody, I mean Measure 37 and everybody saying they know what the voters meant, but I do think that the common perception of a park could not be the fairgrounds by any stretch of the imagination. I also don't think that the state parks staff is, I mean, this is going to take incredible marketing skills to try to figure out what to do with that place. And just to get money to have parks do it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. As somebody put it also on the House floor, this doesn't seem to be a very happy marriage of the two agencies. Or, I mean, they aren't agencies, but the park staff and the state fair staff. I am very concerned that some of the ATV people, for example, who got all riled up because they thought that their money was going to go to in an undedicated way. Well, of course, somehow or other, it's hard to know how the money will be allocated. And probably because you combine the debt service, the debt service money that's necessary, you combine the having to repair all those that stuff, the marketing costs. I mean, this is a lot of money. The league does oppose it, and we'll probably do everything we can think of to continue to oppose it until we can't anymore. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Did you identify yourself originally? I didn't.
I think I did.
She did.
Oh,
yes, okay.
Kind of automatic.
Yes.
Good afternoon. My name is Jessica Hamilton. I'm the Legislative Affairs Director for the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. And Chairman Bates, Senator Nelson, thanks for letting me testify today. I'm speaking on behalf of the Oregon Conservation Network. It's a coalition of about 80 different conservation groups across the state working to preserve Oregon's quality of life. And at the beginning, last summer, we all came together, a subset of those 80 groups came together, actually, and talked about what our priorities were going to be for this legislative session. And defending Measure $66 is one of our top priorities. And so we are opposed to House Bill 3502 because we see it as a misappropriate use of Measure $66. We're more concerned about this version than we were the one that went to the floor and got sent back to committee, because it is going to be up to the Parks Department to determine what type of money is going to be used to bolster the state fair. And we will continue to make sure that those dollars instead are using for purchasing additional parkland, maintaining existing parks, and really thinking about the true natural park areas that you might see driving along the coast, for example. The dollars are really what. Actually, another point is it's my understanding that the governor had a priority of establishing one new park per year for over 10 years, and I think that if we were going to shift a lot of focus over supporting the state fair, that would limit his ability to do that type of wonderful work. So just to be officially on the record, we do oppose the bill, and we'll continue to work through with you guys as it moves through the process. Thank you.
Thank you both for your testimony. Any other testimony? Tim? Mr. Wood.
Good afternoon, Senator Bates and Senator Nelson. I'm Tim Wood, Director of the Parks and Recreation Department, and I'm here to testify on House Bill 3502 that, if adopted, would transfer the state fair to the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. I think, as you're both aware, the Oregon Parks and Recreation Commission is opposed to House Bill 3502, and they expressed that opposition to several members of the legislature through the attached letter to my testimony. While the commission appreciates the confidence that the legislature has expressed in the department's ability to manage and operate the fair and the exposition center, we're concerned about the long-term implications of the decision. Most importantly, I think the adoption of this bill would significantly change the tenor and focus of a department that really has developed a national reputation as a leader in meeting and managing the park and outdoor recreation needs of the state. It could also jeopardize the future financial position of the department and affect its ability to deliver and maintain the level of service that has become its hallmark for the performance of its traditional mission. This is especially true since adoption of the department's budget includes transfer of the debt incurred by the fair to the department. Exchanging $12 million of the department debt that would normally be paid off in 2014 to acquire $24 million in debt from the fair that will not expire until 2019 saddles the department with a debt burden that was incurred through decisions made totally unrelated to and without the participation of the department and the Parks and Recreation Commission. The term of the debt extends beyond the certainty of Measure 66 funding when acquired. And when the debt was acquired, it was obligated and secured against funding sources that were totally unrelated to the department. Transfer also places a burden on future financial ability of the department to achieve the legislative direction of reducing the agency's backlog of maintenance and repair to zero by 2014. In fact, under the provisions of House Bill 3502, the department will add an estimated $8.2 million in backlog that is strictly attributable to the fair. I would encourage the committee and the legislature to consider a more deliberate approach to achieving the objectives of the bill and finding an appropriate organizational structure for the fair. This could be achieved by studying the situation in the interim between sessions and developing recommendations for a bill in the next legislature. My department is willing to participate in that discussion and provide assistance to the fair in the interim. Adoption of 3502 in this session would provide an expedient solution to the funding of the state fair, but it avoids the debate on how this decision will impact the future of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. Having said that, and expressed our opposition, I'd like to further state that if this bill is adopted, our department will take it on with a vengeance, and we'll do our best to make it work and make it work for the department and for the state fair and its constituency as well. And we'll carry it out in a fashion that's consistent with our reputation for service and integrity. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. I'm going to ask you to stay here just for a few minutes because I have some questions. Does anybody else want to testify?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm John McCulley, representing the Oregon Fairs Association. We are not taking a position on this bill, although I have had several conversations with our members who have concerns about this. Really, on the other side of the issues, you've heard more concerned about how the state fair will be able to operate under this new system and how much priority it will be given within the Parks Department. I'm heartened by the words of the director that says if the bill is passed, he will do everything he can to implement it. And I guess I'm appearing here today to pledge the support of our organization that if this bill passes, we will do everything we can to make it successful as well. We think it's an important part of Oregon's heritage. I think there is a nexus on heritage issues between the Parks and Recreation Department and the state fair. So I think there are some opportunities there to improve the fair and make it a shining jewel as a part of the Parks Department. And like I say, we're willing to do what we can to help make that happen if this is the direction the legislature goes.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else? Jessica, would you mind coming back up potentially here? And Tim, too. I asked LFO prior to coming here today what the debt load of this of the state fair is in comparison to their book of business. Did you have a chance to get those numbers together?
What I can tell you is that it ranges between 24% and 29%, depending upon what the expenditures of the state fair and revenues are that they are able to generate. So it's not clear right now what it is until the department gets in there and identifies those expenditures and revenues.
We'll know more about that as we go along. My point being here that, number one, the fair was instructed when it first was getting in trouble years ago that they needed to rebuild the facilities in order to attract more business, and the extra business was supposed to, on the business model, to help pay for the increased debt. Obviously, while the money was borrowed and the money was used, the extra business did not materialize. That is, from my point of view, a failure of management, not putting a business plan together that works well. Many of us outside this building have run businesses, some businesses quite large. I've been involved in some of those myself. A good business plan that is built on some common sense and built on some factual information is sometimes harder to get than you might think. And I've seen businesses fail that I kind of thought might make it, and others that I thought never had any chance at all be put through, and I've watched hospitals fail because of that, too, that I know of. That I voted against those bills and what they wanted to do as a member of the staff, and watched hospitals actually close because of bad business decisions. So this is not something that doesn't happen elsewhere. Having said that, a debt burden of 20% to 29% against your book of business is unsustainable. You cannot run a business with that kind of a debt burden. Tim, your department has shown an ability and expertise in running the Parks Department that we have a great deal of confidence in. Part of the problem was not only the business plan that was put forth by the state fair and the funding they expected to receive as a result of it, but also incredibly poor management. I saw the e-board and listened to a story in which the administrators of the state fair had actually lost count of their bond payments, did not know a bond payment was due, a large bond payment was due, and actually missed the payment. They weren't even aware they had a payment coming due. That is gross mismanagement. And I'm sure that under your your direction, that would not occur. Jessica, you can comment on this, please. And Tim, I want to comment from you also. You don't have a chance to know the answer to this question yet, but if you're relieved of the debt burden on running that state fair, and I'm going to tell you that I think there is a nexus with the Parks Department and the heritage programs you run in the state fair. It may not be as tight as some people like to see, but it is there. If you're relieved of a 20 to 29% debt burden, I think you could probably make the state fair viable and start paying for itself. We're coming very close to it. We do support the other county fairs around the state to a small amount with general fund or other fund monies, but nothing like this. In your first look at this, and this is very preliminary, would elimination of that debt burden be something you could then think of as a possibility of managing this organization the way that would be running in the black or close to it?
Senator Bates, conceptually, yes. I think, as I understand it, there's about an $8 million net need right now for the fair. So about half of that is debt service, and about half of it is from revenue versus shortfall versus expenditures. And so our goal, and this is, you know, without a detailed analysis of the operation, but our goal would be to get to try to operate the fair and the exposition center to at least a break-even proposition. That may take a few years to do that, but that relieving us of the debt burden, or the debt burden not being there, I think it's certainly much more reasonable.
I understand that. I'm not saying we're going to do that. We're certainly not going to do it today, but it's something we have to at least consider in future legislative assemblies. Jessica, if the debt burden issue was taken out of this and we were looking at this being transferred to parks, in order to keep something which is a heritage to the state fair is a heritage issue, and their primary concern was to properly manage it, get it back to where it's near breaking even, would you be as opposed to as you are now? Is the debt burden the primary concern, the transfer of the debt burden, and the fact that ballot measure 66 monies, no matter how you look at it, how you wash it, are probably going to go against that debt burden? Is that your major concern?
I think, Senator Bates, certainly the amount of money is a problem, because you can look at what those millions of dollars could be used for other projects. So, yes, that is a concern. But I think that, I mean, just conceptually, the question is whether this is even constitutional when you look at what the voters passed dealing with Measure 66. So we actually would be encouraged to take it upon ourselves to do a little more research to see whether this actually fits in with the goals of Measure 66.
I appreciate that comment. The bill in front of us talks a great degree about reporting back to the legislature, reporting back to the e-board as you gain more knowledge of the situation and bring it forward. I would expect the advocacy groups to be very involved in that also, and I would appreciate you being involved. I'm not certain that this will or will not stand the test of a question of constitutionality. I think it probably would LC the indicator through the Heritage Program. It probably does, but it's loose. I'm not going to tell you that every legislature in this building thinks this is the most wonderful piece of legislation we've seen all session. It is not there. But we also don't see any viable way of around this. If we want to close the state fair down, that would be one option. We then have to pay off a debt with no income coming in against it, which would be even more expensive, and we'd lose the state fair and probably never get it back. We all appreciate that we are no longer the agricultural state that we used to be. The state fair is important. It's not as high as it used to be, but it's still significant. Many people from across state enjoy the state fair, come from all over the state. Many people from rural parts of the state and come to the state capital. It's their one opportunity to do so, especially a lot of kids. I think it does fit into the heritage program. Others may disagree. And I think we're going to move this bill forward. I would think that in the future, though, if all of us are back here again in 18 months, or in 18 months if we're still here, we've never left, which is possible. I'm hearing Christmas music already. I think we need to reevaluate this as you gain more information over the next 18 months, and I would not be surprised to see modifications of this measure in the future, the next session. I would not be surprised at all that we'd look at a different way of taking care of the debt But we would ask, I think, frankly, the idea of parks taking it over and managing it is a good decision. I support that entirely. Tim, I have a real confidence in your organization to do that. I really do. I do have real heartburn with the debt situation. But they go hand in hand right now. I see no way around it on a temporary basis. I think for the next 18 months, 2 years, we've got to do this thing. You do a lot of things in this building, hold your nose on, and this is one of those things we're going to do. And so I'm going to move this bill forward today with support, if I have it here, to full. But I've heard your concerns. I want you to know that my response to those concerns are that we will continue to look at this. I do not believe this is the final chapter on this, and that we'll be looking at it again in 18 months saying, well, how can we modify this? What's the best way to handle this? We don't want all our ballot measure 66 money going into a black hole in Salem. We want more parks. We want to continue to improve those parks. We know that's what the voters of the state wanted. I know many of them did not understand we had a heritage program, and I think if they did, they wouldn't want it funded at this level, probably. But having said all that, we're going to move it forward with all the caveats I can place on it, okay? And I want people to know I've heard them carefully, and I will continue to talk about this. When I first heard of this program, I thought someone was kidding me, okay? I thought it was a joke until I found out the entire enormity of the problem at State Fair. And when you understand that, you see no other way out of it. I think you have to go forward with this thing. Any other comments from either one of you?
I would only, Senator Bates, I'd only reiterate that if that's what you all want us to do, we'll do it. So
it's not a matter of want, it's a matter of need. It's what we need you to do.
Well, we also think that there's a great opportunity to capitalize on the heritage of the state through the state fair and other activities at the fairground, not necessarily related to the 2 weeks that the fair is in session. And so we'll look for ways to do that.
I appreciate that. And maybe you can even make this go into the black and start paying that debt back on what I call an honest basis. Okay? I would appreciate that. All right. Any other comments from the public? Any questions? Thank you for your time. You've been heard and honestly heard. Okay. I'm going to entertain a motion that House Bill 3502-B be. We don't have to, we don't have to amend this, do we? It's ready to go.
It's ready to go.
Be passed to the special Senate Committee on Budget with a two-pass recommendation.
So moved.
Moved. Any discussion? Hearing none. So ordered. We'll close a work session of House Bill 3502-B.
Carry.
I will carry. I won't put you through it. I'll carry it myself. Okay. I love to give members of the committee a chance to carry bills, but I wouldn't put this or a 4-3 or a couple others on you. I'll take care of them myself. So we close the work session 3502B, and we open the work session on House Bill 5139 on Parks and Recreation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5139-A is the agreed-upon budget for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. The budget includes the realignment of the Oregon State Fair with the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and I have provided you with a copy of the various policy packages that are in the bill. The highlighted sections are the areas that we had left in the Senate review of this budget for this discussion of or the agreement on the Oregon State Fair moving into the department, and so those were the remaining items, and that's how the remaining packages have been distributed. So there is a $5.8 million lottery fund package to defease the 1998 lottery-backed bond, utilizing the additional lottery revenue resulting from the revised economic forecast. There was approval for the $6.5 million lottery fund to increase facilities investment expenditures from $15 million to $21.5 million. And under the Parks Operation Program, those were all agreed to between both the House and the Senate prior to today. And Administration Support Program There's the additional $80,795 lottery fund to add the limited duration position for to oversee the transition of the Oregon State Fair. And then under the grants program, we've added a $500,000 lottery fund to increase dollars available for local park grants. And in the acquisitions program, another $500,000 to increase the dollars available for park for land acquisitions. And we've added the new program, Oregon State Fair, giving a $7.8 million other fund operating expense for 12 months. That's for 59 position, 19.96 FTE. It includes $3.5 million personal services, $3.8 million services and supplies, $632,081 capital outlay, and $27,045 for an energy loan special payment. $600,000 in capital outlay is financed with interest earnings on lottery bond proceeds for facility improvements. House Bill 3502 directs the Oregon State Fair budget to merge with the Parks Department budget by January 1, 2006. The total 2005-07 operating budget for Oregon State Fair is $18,739,342, 59 positions, and 34.18 FTE. The director is further instructed to monitor the expenses during the transition period to ensure accountability, and if the Oregon State Fair demonstrates a need for other funds cash, that OPRD will transfer sufficient revenue to cover the gap. And then there is $4.2 million in lottery fund to pay the debt service for sale of lottery bonds to construct the pavilion and previous construction and renovations. And debt service is to be paid through the OPRD budget in accordance with established payment schedule in fiscal year 05 and 06.
And that's where you get your 20%, isn't it?
Yes.
You got $18 million budget for 2 years and $4 million plus a $600,000 debt service.
That's correct. Then there were four budget notes and a comment that were added as a result of moving the state fair to the Parks Department. The department is directed to establish an interim work group by no later than the 1st of August to assist with the transfer of the Oregon State Fair to the State Parks and Recreation Department. The work group will include but not be limited to staff from the Legislative Fiscal Office, Budget and Management, the Office of the Governor, and affected agencies. The work group will be responsible for identifying all the issues related to the transfer and for recommending actions to resolve these issues to the State Parks and Recreation Director. The department is encouraged to seek the assistance of other state agencies that have experience with agency consolidation in developing the transfer plan and to include representatives from these agencies in the work group. The State Parks and Recreation Department will report to the Emergency Board at the meetings closest to January 1, 2006, July 1, 2006, and December 1, 2006 on the progress of the work group. And the December 1, 2006 report should also include a review of any fiscal or policy issues that the 2007 Legislative Assembly will need to resolve. State Fair, the second additional budget note was the State Fair Facilities Modernization Master Plan, Strategic Plan, and Marketing Plan. State Parks and Recreation Director is urged to appoint a State Fair Advisory Committee upon passage of House Bill 3502. And as directed by the State Parks and Recreation Department, the Advisory Committee will undertake an immediate review of the use and marketing of the state fairgrounds, including opportunities for collaboration with other state and local partners. The State Fair Advisory Committee will recommend revisions to the State Fair Facilities Modernization Master Plan, the State Fair Strategic Plan, and the State Fair Marketing Plan to the State Parks and Recreation Director. State Parks and Recreation Director will be responsible for adopting revisions to the State Fair Facilities Modernization Master Plan, the State Fair Strategic Plan, and the State Fair Marketing Plan when these revisions have been adopted, but in any event by no later than the meeting closest to July 1, 2006. The State Parks and Recreation Department will report to the Emergency Board on progress and revisions to these plans and on its strategies for use and marketing of the state fairgrounds.
Can I interrupt just for a second?
You may.
I've been real sensitized to budget notes lately. Yeah, they're almost gone. Bleeding stopped yesterday afternoon. There's one in C here. It says Parks and Recreation Director is urged to appoint a State Fair Advisory Committee. I wish I said shall. I hope to assume that means shall, not urged. I think this is the key part of much of this. There are lots of landmines in this transition. We can stumble in making that transition, we can stumble in not getting a business plan and vision together that actually works. It's going to be very intensive over the next 18 months, I think, to do all these things. A good advisory committee can help out. I'm always interested that many people in Spillane are talking always about privatizing parts of government. There was no discussion of privatizing this one. They always want to privatize things that are money makers and have great resources. This one is something nobody wants to touch. And it's amazing to me no one suggested that a private company take this over and take care of this for us. Did you hear any discussions about that?
No.
I don't think I did either. having said that, an editorial comment there, this part is really important, and I think that probably our people in the business community could be brought into this, not only from the point of view of helping the vision and helping how it's going to be run, but they also might be the people who would come in and help support the organization while we're getting it up and running. Everyone from the Calisman Association to Intel, you pick them. But bring people in that can help you. You're wise in these things, and I'm sure you will do that anyway. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine. The next one is the Oregon State Fair positions and classifications. The State Parks and Recreation Department is directed to immediately undertake a study of the positions and classifications in the Oregon State Fair and effective upon the transfer to realign these positions and classifications with those of the department. And just an editorial comment from LFO is that probably isn't necessary. I'm certain that the department would have done that anyway. Budget report comment, the Department of Administrative Services will be requested to unschedule the other funds expenditure limitation provided to the Oregon State Fair based on actual expenditure needs. The State Parks and Recreation Department may need to seek an adjustment to its other funds expenditure limitation from the Emergency Board following the transfer of the Oregon State Fair, depending on the balances that are transferred, which means they will be coming back to rebalance their budget. And then under the subcommittee recommendations on performance measures, both the House and the Senate had previously approved Parks' performance measures, but with the addition of the Oregon State Fair, it's recommended that the Parks Director review those performance measures and report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee by October 2006 with their recommendations.
This budget was actually worked extremely well, I thought, by the Joint Committee and a lot prior to this. Is happening, and worked very hard on taking care of debts for it and prioritizing it and asking them to continue to acquire land and do it in a thoughtful manner, which they're doing. And I really felt good about this budget. And we went nuclear on them and blew a hole in it bigger than the budget with this, what we had to do as far as the State Fair is concerned. So it's a tough one. Any comment from the director or anybody else that would like to comment at this point? Okay. Hearing none, any comments? I would entertain a motion that House Bill 5139A be moved to full committee with a due pass recommendation.
I would move.
We have the motion. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We will then close.
Okay.
Now I'll carry this one. Unless you like to carry these.
I'll just leave that on to you.
Oh, thank you. We'll close this work session, House Bill 5139A. Are we going to recess, or are we going to ready to roll on?
Can we recess for just a second?
Yes. We're going to recess just for a moment. Thank you. Hearing on Senate Bill 1072. Thank you. And I'm going to ask the LFO to tell us what the bill does, and then we'll take testimony. Just so everybody knows, we will probably not be passing this bill to a full today, but we'll continue this on to Monday. But I'd like to get as much testimony on the record now as we could, so that on Monday, if we have amendments that can be made, we can do this quickly and easily and move it on to full.
Sure.
Okay. Susan.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, the measure, Senate Bill 1072A, establishes legislative findings that state, federal, and private forest lands are important environmental and economic resources that are increasingly jeopardized by drought, insects, disease, and fires. It establishes that forest lands enhance water flows, are wildlife habitats, and that reducing disease and fires are of interest to the state. The bill establishes that biomass industry could provide a source of energy, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, have other ecological benefits, create jobs, and provide economic benefits to rural communities and state policy to support biomass energy derived from a variety of sources and sized in proportion to supplies that cost effectively can be obtained from a certain area and operated in consideration of sustainable forest values. Measure requires the state forester to establish communications with the federal government regarding use of biomass and utilization of various federal forest acts, promote public education and outreach regarding biomass on federal lands, and seek opportunities to provide a sustainable source of biomass from federal, tribal, and state forests. It establishes legislative findings regarding the State Forestry Department's qualification to participate in management of federal forests in Oregon. And it requires the board to create a public forum to discuss management issues, provide guidelines to department regarding management of lands, participation in federal policy development, and guide department in implementing these duties. You have a copy of the fiscal impact statement. It has been updated. There had been some question about what source of funds the agency would have to use for the planning and implementation startup of this program. And the Legislative Fiscal Office has been reassured that they can use their existing federal grant program for the planning and implementation of this the work in this bill. So the Legislative Fiscal Office has estimated that it probably take up to 12 months, maybe longer, before revenue from the sale of the biomass or biofuels off of the forest lands would start generating enough revenue to actually pay for the program, so they would have to continue under the federal program, and the fiscal reflects that. And then in the last paragraph, we noted that the department would need to document the sources of funds for the program before an expenditure limitation could be established, and they would have to come to the emergency board during the interim.
Thank you, Susie. I do know what the measure does. It didn't mention that the forest also contains what I consider delicious animals and fish, but we won't go there with you right now. Okay, I like to hunt the fish and keep something at home. Even that's a very important part of the forest for me, at least. I'd like to take public testimony first. Is that okay?
Sure.
This bill has been sponsored, as we all know, by Senator Nelson. I think it's an excellent piece of legislation. Looking forward to doing what we need to as far as some minor amendments to, I believe, before we move it out. Is anyone here want to take public testimony? Please step up. Why isn't Forrest here?
Assistant State Forester Ted Lawrenson is here.
Where's Marvin?
Sometimes you got to send us flax to cover these things. I think the information provided by the LFO staff was right on target in terms of cost. Our current budget does have federal fund authorization, and we do have a program option package that is in both budgets that also expands our resources with regard to the fire issue and includes one position for biomass. Obviously, that would depend upon us getting the actual grants to implement that, which we'd have to still seek and get. But we do think we'd be very successful in doing that. We do want to acknowledge the hard work of Senator Nelson on this particular bill. And I think the preamble of the bill does a nice job of laying the groundwork for the problem. What maybe not fully appreciated, but I think is generally understood, is the magnitude of the problem. Well over two-thirds of Oregon's forests are in a condition that is outside the normal fuel conditions in terms of the fire regimes that would naturally occur, some of them substantially so, and we have seen increasing numbers of both insect and disease problems and fire that are well outside the normal circumstances that we'd hope for our forests. And it's going to take a lot of aggressive work to even catch up to how the problem is increasing, let alone trying to start turning things around and making things improving conditions. So there's just a lot of work to do. We take this very seriously, and I believe the bill's the right thing to do at this point in time.
A couple questions for myself. My sense, after being here for 6 months, is that the state and private forest lands are managed significantly different than the federal forests are, and my sense also is the state and private forest lands are actually managed at a much more intense than I think federal level. I would hope that this bill could lead potentially on to to healthier forests, and which would produce biomass, but also would allow some limited increase in harvest, because I think 3% harvest is not even good economically for the state, but I think it actually will improve the health of those forests. I'm not a forester, and I'm not an expert in this area, but my sense is that is the case. Is there an opportunity for that to occur in this bill?
Chair Bates, member of the committee, there certainly is. The way we frame forests in Oregon, there are four different forest emphases, of which three focus on the widespread forest landscape, the first being intensive management forestry, wood emphasis forests, the second being kind of what we call multi-resource forests, and the third being reserve forests. And right now in Oregon, it's about a third and a third and a third in each one of those general types of management. And put that thing in scale, nationwide, Oregon provides for about 11% of the nation's total reserve forest, which is disproportionate to the rest of the contributions other states are making. So we have a lot of reserve forests. Even in that context, though, under the federal forest plans, they're not being implemented the way they are intended to be implemented. The harvest rates are about 25% of what they're supposed to be. Growth on the lands planned for harvest and management exceeds harvest by about a ratio of 11 to 1. And so that just shows the magnitude of what it's going to take to catch up. But there is a huge potential to increase the economic contribution, the environmental contribution, the social contribution from those forests in that multi-resource and reserve category on federal lands. And this bill certainly gets us towards focusing on that.
Thank you. I say this is actually a win-win for both the environmental community and for those who want Sierra cut in the forest, which I am a member of, and I'm also a member of the environmental community. Many of the environmental community may not share that view. They have a different view of what we should do with our forests. But frankly, I'm concerned that we've gone too far in one direction, and that's one of the reasons I like this bill so much. But thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah. Thank
you. I know there's at least one more who wants to speak.
Chair Bates, members of the committee, my name is Lindsey Ball. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. The Department of Fish and Wildlife encourages forest managers, particularly those managing forest lands, to manage a portion of their land for early successional forests by removing biomass, and that's what Senate Bill 1072 encourages and requires to be done. We believe reducing biomass fuels on forest lands provide benefits to wildlife by increasing the diversity of our forest habitats by reducing the cereal stage in the ecosystem. Different species, you know, thrive in different cereal stages, and by reducing that through harvest, we can accomplish a more diverse wildlife base, fish and wildlife base in our forest, public forest lands. We believe legislation formally recognizes the extensive cooperation that is already occurring between our department, forest land managers, and other state and federal agencies, and it creates a new economic incentive to benefit fish and wildlife through forest management at state and local levels. We'll be benefiting both our fish and wildlife resources and our economies, Chair and members of the committee, by passage of the bill.
Thank you. Any other comments? We're not going to move this bill today. We'll bring it back on Monday for any final amendments. Senator Nelson, do you have any comments?
Just to clarify, there's two parts of the bill. We're talking about the biomass. The other part is the stewardship contract concept with the federal government. This is actually, as I'm dug into this thing, about 6 years old. It started in 1999. There are actually 80 of these type of projects throughout the western states. I think Utah and Colorado have the greatest amount. They've made the most use of them. And they've been very successful. It's a situation where the federal government really doesn't have the funds to come in and take care of business. They realize that there are some needs. I think the environmental community realizes that too. There was an article in the Oregon not too long ago about the cooperative effort in Central Oregon with the environmental groups and the forestry department, I think, to take care of it. Dean Saltwasher down in Oregon State has got two pilot projects, one in Lakeview and one in Warm Springs, where, you know, they're just looking at, you know, we have to do something. We're not going back to logging as it was 15 years ago. And so this is a new method of trying to address what we think is a very serious problem. So the issue we're talking about now is how do you define uncharacteristic fires? You know, should we expand that definition, or should we put it into the bill, or should we? I mean, there's lots of words out there and lots of the federal government regulation as to what uncharacteristic fire is. And that's the key thing, is that we will be very strongly under the dictates of the federal government with this concept. They're going to say, okay, this is a good project, this isn't a good project. And so we're not going to change any of the environmental rules. We're just going to be contracting with the federal government to contract with private contractors, and that's what the Department of Forestry is also looking at. They're not going out and doing the work. They're going to use private contractors to get involved with this. So that's kind of just a summary of all the things we've looked at. So I feel pretty good. I appreciate all the help from all sides, because there's not everybody's in total agreement. But I think by and large they're really thinking that this is an idea that should move forward.
Thanks. Well, thanks for bringing the bill forward. As I've gone through it and looked at it and talked to others, I think it is a good bill. I think it actually can be a win-win for both the environmental community and for the forests. The fact that we have positive testimony from Fish and Wildlife and from the Department of Forestry, I think, supports that view. We need healthier forests. I'm especially concerned about the federal forest and the state forest. We have concerns there, but they're being, I think, managed in a fairly reasonable fashion. We'll continue to evolve that management. Private lands are clearly being used for commercial purposes, but the federal forests are languishing, and I'm concerned about what's going to happen to them. And if you can put a firewall up between the forest and the feds have, and the rest of them, I'd feel a lot better, but you can't. Well, I still think we're worried about some devastating forest fires that occur, insects and disease getting into other parts of the forest, because we're just not managing them. I'm very concerned about all those issues. We've gotten lucky this summer so far. It's been raining every week into July, but we could be in trouble already. We still could get in trouble before this thing's over with. So thank you for your testimony. Hope you guys have a nice weekend. And I'm going to close this public hearing and work session. We'll be opening up a work session on Monday. Probably won't take any testimony then. We'll just be doing amendments to the bill and passing it on. Oops. Yes, you can. Les and Jessica. Didn't quite close. I didn't drop the gavel yet.
For the record, I'm Mike Sullivan from Association of Western Pulp and
Paper. I don't want you guys getting too close together up there. Okay?
Workers.
We need a firewall for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm not in the federal forest, though. We have to make that clear. I'm more the water guy. That's where I'm at. But I know Bill's been dogging this, and I'd like the record to reflect that the Western Council of Industrial Workers, the Carpenters, and Association of Pulp and Paper Workers support this bill. If one thing we all realize is that what you said, Senator Bates, is probably the pendulum's gone a little too far. It needs to come back to center. And programs like this bill that Senator Nelson are bringing forth are a very good idea for the economy and the workers that have lost jobs over the years. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Mrs. Hamilton. Ms. Hamilton.
I'm not married, but thank you.
Ms. Hamilton.
Jessica Ms. Hamilton.
Ms.
Exactly. Ms. Legislative Affairs Director for the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. And I wanted to thank you both, Senator Nelson in particular, for engaging the conservation community in the development of your bill. I think that's very admirable. Not a lot of senators would even consider that. So, but on that note, I do, I believe you said that there are some new amendments to it. Mary Ann Guest from the Wild Salmon Center has been our point person for the Oregon Conservation Network on this particular bill. So I just wanted to weigh in and encourage you to continue to work with her as you fine-tune this bill. And to date, we've been neutral on the bill. I think that, you know, should there be any major changes, we just might have to revisit that. Just wanted to weigh in and say thank you for letting us work with you on that, and we'll continue to do so as it moves through the process.
Cheers. Information and Jessica's also is that Mary Ann and I spoke during the lunch hour, she emailed several things off to Jay Ward, and I've contacted industry groups saying, okay, how would you like to describe uncharacteristic?
Yeah.
And then there's another word, excess. I mean, we're talking right now probably about two words, uncharacteristic and excess. Whether they actually need to be in the bill or whether they're going to cause huge trouble.
And I'll tell you that I'm the one's kind of putting the foot in the ear hose. This, and the reason is this. I want this bill to leave this committee clean. I want it to go to the budget. I want it to go to the floor and across. I don't want it coming back for concurrence on the basis of anything we've done with it. I don't want it coming back with anything amended to it. I really want this bill to leave here clean. We've got a couple days to do this thing. Let's get it out clean, get it across, get it to the House and on the governor's desk without people playing with it. And that means we've got to take another day here and make sure we do that. Okay? All right. Thank you for your testimony. Any other testimony? Slow hammer here. Hearing none, we will. Are these tests for closing?
I'm using close because we'll be close.
Okay, we will close a public hearing work session on Senate Bill 1072A, and we are adjourned for today. Thank you.